Hey family, welcome to the house. We're so glad you're here and we are excited about this word that you are getting ready to receive. It's going to bless you and change your life. And when God speaks to you and it resonates very deeply and there's a promise, maybe something that you've been praying for, believing God for, I want you to sow a seed.
Absolutely. Whenever God meets me, I make it my personal commitment to sow a seed, to build an altar. When there's something in that message that, you know, the light turns on or it deals with something that you have been struggling with, there is something about having this practical manifestation of that response of what God just said to you. And for me, that comes when I sow a seed. Mm.
We love you. God bless you. Watch it to the end and then share this message with somebody. It's going to change your life and hopefully many others.
Or you can do better than that. Come on and give the Lord some praise. Or you can do better than that. Come on and give the Lord some praise. Give me some monitor. Come on and give the Lord some praise, some real praise. Not a hand clap, not just an applaud. Give him some real praise. I was blind, but now I see. Grab your Bibles and bring them up with you as we begin to enter into some understanding of God's word and his significance, his power, his grace, his glory, his anointing. Amen. Happy resurrection. Happy resurrection. I'm not just talking about Jesus, I'm talking about you. Happy resurrection. I don't know what kind of ground you had to come out of to get to where you are, but happy resurrection. People wouldn't believe the dirt you were under, but happy resurrection for what God has done for you. Shout yes, somebody. Let me hear it. I'm excited. We're going to the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 3, verse 13 through 17. And we're going to share the word of God, all three of us, in sermonettes, so I'm going to be brief. But Matthew, the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 3, verse 13 through 17, when you have it, say amen. Amen. In the interest of time, I may only read the first verse. In the interest of time. When you have it, say amen. Amen. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? There's only three words I want. Then cometh Jesus. Look at your neighbor and say, then cometh Jesus. It don't matter what happened before. It doesn't matter what happened yesterday. It doesn't matter what the doctor says. It doesn't matter what the accountant says. It doesn't matter the tumor, the lump, the disease, the affliction, the haters. It doesn't matter. Just then cometh Jesus. Say it to somebody else, then cometh Jesus. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us today as we open up the book of life to hear the word of God. We thank you for your coming. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your unveiling, your apocalypse, your exposure, your sharing yourself, your revealing yourself. We thank you for your journey, the journey that you made, that you came to us when we couldn't come to you. We thank you, Lord, for making up the distance between us and you. Our arms were too short. Our sins were too heavy, but you came to rescue us. You came to see about us. Then cometh Jesus. Bless the word of God as it is shared today in Jesus' name. That with all your voice, like you're yelling at your kids, shout amen. Poor kids, sit down. This is probably one of the most profound, prolific, powerful scriptures in the New Testament. It is a hinge scripture because it is through this scripture that we look both backwards and forwards. We look at where he came from, we look at where he came to. It is one of the few scriptures, you're gonna have to catch me, it's one of the few scriptures that is a shadow in the New Testament. Most scriptures that are considered shadows or sneak peeks into the future or prophetic profundity is given to us in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, this significant moment, and we didn't read the whole story, but about Jesus being baptized of John is significant because it is prophetic, it is profound, it is powerful. But before we look at the significance of what it is, let's look at the power of the prophetic value of what it was. For the Bible said in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, that the seed of the woman would rise up and bruise the head of the seed of the serpent, and the serpent would bruise his heel. And so it prophesied, it lets you know that Jesus is not an afterthought. He's not God in a panic, racing toward a decision, coming up with something to solve an immediate problem. This is foreknown in the mind of God, that God had the answer before hell had the question. That God had the healing before Satan had the disease. That God had the cure before hell came up with the affliction. The Bible says that the Lord was slain from the foundations of the world, meaning in eternity, God already had it fixed before it ever became a problem. It was only time that he used to usher and reveal what he had predestined and predetermined from the foundations of the world. He had already had it worked out. And if we can begin to understand that about God, it will help us with the problems we're dealing with right now. That it is not the power of your prayer or the anointing on your lips, but it is the sovereign plan of God, that God has your problem already worked out. The thing you're worried about right now, God already has it fixed right now. He's not a God that reacts. He acts. He doesn't just respond. He has predetermined everything, the end from the beginning. He's already set it in place. And all he is using is the dates on the calendar to mark the revelation of revealing the answer that he already foreknew in your life. So what you worried about, I don't understand it. What you upset about, I don't understand it. What are you walking the floor at 2:00 in the morning? I don't understand it. God has already got the cure before the problem ever started. And all you do is pray about it. When you pray about it, it just releases what God has already set in place from the foundation of the world. In fact, the battle is already won. The enemy is already defeated. Hell is already upset. Satan is already apprehended. Satan is already apprehended right now, and you got the victory over hex, every spell, every satanic attack, every disease, every affliction. God has determined the end from the beginning. And that's why the Bible said, that's why the song said, don't wait till the battle is over. Y'all didn't get that. Don't wait till the battle is over, but just go ahead and shout now. Shout on credit. Shout on MasterCard. Shout on Visa. Shout on American Express. Because you already know that God's good for it. If you believe that God's good for what you're going through, give him a praise right now. And what I love about God is every now and then he will give you a preview of a coming attraction. He's not ready to give you the whole movie yet, but he'll give you a glimpse. So all through the Old Testament, we see theophanies. Theophanies are glimpses of the plan of God that he shows us in the Old Testament that cause us to catch a glimpse of Jesus Christ. For instance, when the Hebrew boys were in the fiery furnace and King Nebuchadnezzar was confused because he said, I know we put in three, but there's one in there that we didn't put in there. There's a fourth man walking around in the fire, in the fiery furnace. He's already there. Who do you think that fourth man was? Who do you think that fourth man was? Walking around in the fire. So if you're walking around in the fire, you ain't walking around by yourself. The fire was so hot that it burned up the men that threw them in the fire. The fire was so hot, so it wasn't that he took the heat out the fire. The heat was still there. It burned the ropes that held them. It burned the men that threw them in. But there they are walking around in the fire. There's some stuff you walking around in right now that has burned up everything around you. It's not that it's not hot. It's not that it's not traumatic. It's not that it's not painful. It's not that it's not hard. It's not that it's not difficult. But there you are walking around in the flame. I know you'd rather be at the beach, but you ought to praise him because you're walking around in the flame. I know you're upset because they're talking about you, but you ought to praise him because you're walking around in the flame. I know you're upset because somebody is looking funny, talking about you, writing notes, texting about you. It don't matter. You're walking around in the flame. And every now and then, you need to just take a walk. Just to let hell know I'm still here. I'm still moving. I'm still walking. I'm still going. Come on, talk to me, somebody. You threw me in the fire. By the way, it cost you your life to throw me in the fire, because everything that threw you in the fire is going to get burned up, and you're still going to have Jesus walking around in the middle of the fire. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? Or then you could understand that there was a glimpse of him when Jesus, when Jacob comes to Peniel, and he goes up on the mountaintop, and there he has an encounter with God, and he wrestled with a man to the breaking of day. The text, he wrestled with a man, is a theophany. It is God making a house call. It is God coming by to see you. It is God having a meeting place with you. It is God meeting you on the mountaintop of your confusion when you don't know who you are, when you think you are whatever they call you, when you think you are whatever they said about you, as if they had that much power. Jacob thought he was what they called him because they called him Jacob all his life. But the real name of who he was hidden in the pursuit of God. You'll never know who you are until you pursue God. That's why you got to stop worrying about how high your heels are, how cute your dress is, how much you paid to get your hair done, and come in here and start pursuing God, because God is the only one who knows who you really are. Not your mama, not your daddy, not your sister, not your brother, not your aunt, not your uncle. God knows your name. He knows your purpose. He knows your plan. He knows what he has in store for you. And what I'm showing you is how he's been coming up through time. He didn't just come through Galilee. He came through Peniel. He came through situations. He came through circuits. Let me stop by Genesis a minute and give him a little recognition, because when Abraham brought Isaac to the top of the mountain and raised his hand and got ready to slay his son, the Bible said that God spoke from heaven and said, Abraham, whenever God says something twice, it's covenant. The Bible said, once has he spoken it, twice have I heard it. Power belongs to God. So whenever you hear God say it twice, Abraham, Abraham, Moses, Moses, take off your shoes. The ground you stand on is holy ground. To the thief he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, this day shall thou be with me in paradise. That's the echo from heaven to earth. It's God's voice echo. He only said it one time, but twice have I heard it. That means it's settled in heaven and it's settled in the earth. It's already done. Abraham, Abraham, stay your hand. Behold, I got a ram tied up in the thicket. You don't see Jesus? I do. Jesus is the ram that was tied up in the thicket, waiting on the fullness of time to reveal himself and to show who he really is. Oh, but when God got ready to manifest him, to reveal him, he found a virgin and told the virgin, said, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and you shall bring forth a son, and his name shall be called. And his name shall be called. And his name shall be called, and he shall save his people from their sins. She said, how can these things be, seeing as I know not a man? See, the problem with most of us with faith, we only believe when people confirm. But God don't need a witness for his word to be true. The Bible says your unbelief does not make the word of God of no effect. So you can tell me what you believe, but it don't affect what God's going to do, because the word of the Lord is going to prevail over the words of men every time in your life. Oh, my God, I don't know who I'm talking to, but God has spoken a word over your life, and it shall come to pass. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but the word of the Lord shall stand forever. If I'm talking to you, give him just 3 seconds of praise. Come on real quick. Give it 3 seconds of praise. That word was for me. That word was for me. That word was for me. They tried to kill me and I made it. They tried to slay me and I survived. They put me in the fire and I came out the fire. I paid a price to be here. When you paid a price for a praise, you don't care who looks at you funny. You don't care who acts funny. You don't care who turns up their nose, because you know you paid a price to be where you are. To God be the glory for the things he's done. And so in the fullness of time, the Bible said he brought forth his son to destroy the works of the enemy. Not to scratch at it, not to cut it, not to bruise it, not to hurt it, but to destroy it. There's some things in your life that God is going to completely destroy out of your life. You'll never be that again. You might go through something else, but you'll never be that again. Oh my God, I got good news for somebody. I got some resurrection news for somebody. I got a praise for somebody in this room right now. Something is about to happen. When Jesus comes down, we see him being born of the virgin. We see him in the manger. We see him in the temple being circumcised. You say that he shed his blood on the cross, but the truth of the matter is the first drop of the blood was shed in the temple when they circumcised him. And the first drop began to fall, and it was just a foretaste, a preview of what his blood was able to do. His blood, 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 his blood has never lost his power. He didn't lose a thing, but he shed his first drop of blood being circumcised. At 12, he showed up in the temple and confounded the doctors and the lawyers, letting them know that it wasn't his schooling that made him. It wasn't his education that made him. It wasn't his age that made him. He was just as smart at 12 as he was at 30, as he is at 300, as he is at 3,000, because he's omniscient. He's a powerful God. He's an all-knowing God. He's an all-seeing God. He's an all-fixing God. He's an all-moving God. Somebody talk to me. I feel the Holy Ghost in this room. And so he comes down to the Jordan. He comes down to the Jordan. And this is a moment of revelation, because nobody's looking at Jesus. Jesus is doing all of this stuff and nobody's paying him any attention. And you must go through a period of isolation before you have a period of revelation. Until you can serve God in obscurity, you can't serve God in notoriety. If you don't have a dance you can do in your kitchen, You don't have a real dance. If the only time you have a dance is when you can run around in the front of the church, you ain't nothing but a faker, but a real praiser. A real praiser can praise him in the car, can praise him in the living room, can praise him at the mailbox, can praise him at the post office, can praise him on the back porch. Are there any real praisers in here? Are there any real praisers in here? I feel like there's some praisers in here. There are some folk that didn't just come to church because it's Easter Sunday. There are some people that have had a resurrection in your life, and you are serious about praising God. So I gotta hurry, I gotta hurry, I gotta hurry, so I gotta hurry, but I feel something creeping up my back. I feel something creeping up my spine. I feel something in my fingertips. I feel something in my toes. I feel something in my hair follicles. God's about to do something. Hallelujah. Touch three people and say, here he comes. 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 The answer to all of your questions. Here he comes. The healer of all of your diseases. Here he comes. The mountain mover. The water walker. Here he comes. The master physician. Here he comes. Alpha and Omega. Here he comes. The beginning and the end. Here he comes. The first and then comes Jesus. Hallelujah to God. And the Bible said, the Bible said, the Bible said, warn every devil, here comes Jesus. Tell Satan, here comes Jesus. Tell depression, here comes Jesus. Then cometh Jesus. Slap your neighbor and say, here he comes. Why are you sitting around depressed? He's coming. 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 He's coming to rescue you. He's coming to pay that mortgage. He's coming to fix that situation. He's coming to heal your family. He's coming to open up a door. He's coming to make a way. Here he comes. Holly, here he comes. Here he comes, Jesus. And I was a little bit confused what to call, because I like Then Comes Jesus, but I also like dress rehearsal. Because when Jesus came down into the Jordan that flows into the Dead Sea, oh, you didn't get that. The Jordan flows down into the Dead Sea, representing our sins, flowing into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered again in this world or the world to come. John said, oh no, I can't baptize you. I need to be baptized of you myself. Jesus said, suffer it to be so, that it might fulfill all righteousness. Means this is a dress rehearsal. It means something in righteousness. It means something in the spirit world. And the Bible said he went down into the water. And you saw those folk being baptized, they went down into the water. That typifies the death, the burial, and the resurrection of, y'all didn't hear me, the death, the burial, and the, y'all didn't hear what I said, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Everybody in here is in one of those places. Either you in your dying place, your burying place, or your resurrection place. But sooner or later, you're going to go through death, through burial, and through resurrection. And the Bible said that when he came up out of the water, that the Spirit of God descended like a dove and fell on him. And the Father spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Well, what Jesus did on the water is just a dress rehearsal of what he did on the cross. He died until the sun refused to shine. He died until the ground began to tremble. He died until hell backed up and got nervous. He died till the veil was ripped from the top to the bottom. But he said, let's practice this thing so that the enemy can know that no weapon formed against me shall be able to prosper, and every tongue that rises against me, God will condemn. And I don't know what you're going through today, and I don't know what you're facing, and I don't know how hard it is, whether you're in your dying place, your burial place, or your resurrection place. All I know is then comes Jesus. Every time you get a bad report, then comes Jesus. Every time the test comes positive, then comes Jesus. Every time you're about to be evicted, then comes Jesus. Every time the enemy tries to curse you, then comes Jesus. Every time it looks like everybody's against you, then comes Jesus. Every time the mountains of bills are standing up in your face, here comes Jesus. And when I say here comes Jesus, you need to meet him with a praise. You need to let hell know that I know that I'm not in this fire by my I'm not in this fire by myself, but I know my Jesus is going to show up. And wherever I'm at, whatever I'm going through, he's going to deliver me. I need about 100 people that'll give him a crazy, ridiculous, spontaneous, devil chasing, Satan rebuking, praise out of your mouth. I wish I had about 100, maybe 150 people that didn't care what you got on, but you would praise him until the devil know Jesus is coming to my house. Jesus is coming into my situation. I wish I had about 200 people that would break loose and praise him like you lost your mind. I got to take my seat. My time is up. My message is not over, but my time is up. But I need you to help me preach. Touch 10 people and say, here he comes. Here he comes.
Listen, the Potter's House isn't just a place, it's a movement.
Family, we are so much better when we come together, and today we're inviting you to be a part of something bigger. When you sow a seed, you're planting the future of hope, healing, and change.
In times of uncertainty, the house stands strong, and because of you, it keeps standing for others. Your giving isn't just generosity, it's ministry. And what you sow today will be the miracle someone is praying for.
If this message spoke to you, and if you're ready to step into faith, if you believe in what God is doing here, don't wait. Sow a seed, move in faith. Every gift, every act of generosity fuels this mission and brings us closer to reaching the lives that need it the most.